The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Twenty-two minutes past 7, time now for this week's Palestine Report. Hafez Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So the olive harvest agent was marred by Israeli violence.
Yes, it's that time of the year, the Palestine annual Palestine olive harvest, very important period for Palestinians, firstly because of the livelihood it represents for thousands of Palestinian families, also important contributor to the Palestinian economy. And above all of that, the symbolic nature of the Palestinian harvest to Palestinian aspirations. And in the face of all of this, it's become kind of an annual report to give regarding the Palestinian olive harvest, settler attacks, Israeli army thwarting the harvest, and a very disturbing statistic coming out from the International Committee of the Red Cross showing that, you know, occupation is not just one high profile event, but definitely a series of slow attacks on the Palestinian people. And they have reported that since last year, since August last year, over 9,000 olive trees have been destroyed in the West Bank alone. So extremely disturbing statistic. It just gives you an idea of how quickly this happens. While there's not much focus on it, just this week, in one single day, Israeli settlers uprooted 900 olive trees and apricot saplings, and also stole some olive crops in the village of Sebastia in the West Bank. Some of the attacks, have been at least 20 attacks reported since the start of the season, which is just a few weeks old. In some areas, settlers have hurled stones at families who were collecting olives. They've pepper sprayed. Some family members were also involved in the olive harvest. And while there's attacks from settlers on the one hand, there's also Israeli settlers, Israeli soldiers rather, not allowing people to go out to their lands. And for some of these people, it's only once in a year that they gain access to their land, and year two it's been denied. And in the light of that, as always, we have groups of volunteers, both international volunteers, Palestinian volunteers, even Israeli volunteers, who are going out to the West Bank during this period to try to assist in the harvest and thwart these kind of attacks.
Now, the AU fails to resolve the question of Israeli observer status.
Yes, and this is a story that has been brewing at least since July, when the AU Commission head, Moussa Faki Mohammed, he granted Israel observer status, which obviously set off a firestorm because many countries felt that they were not adequately consulted. Since then, as we've reported previously, many countries have come to the fore indicating their opposition to the decision. Many NGOs also across the African continent have raised their objections. In the build-up to the AU meeting in Addis Ababa last week, we had the Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki in South Africa. He penned an open letter where he made a fervent appeal to African states to stand up and expel Israel from the African Union. We also had the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation in South Africa, Naledi Pandor, meeting Maliki and expressing similar sentiments. And also, South Africa being quite influential in bringing together the SADC countries, 16 countries, to condemn this decision or this occurrence at the AU. So when the AU met in Addis Ababa, they were faced with this question, which was on the official agenda. Would they cancel Israel's accreditation? Would they freeze it? Or would they maintain its observer status? And it turned out to be a very interesting debate and a very tense and perhaps debate with proponents, surprisingly, evenly split down the middle, which is not what everybody would have perhaps expected. Some of the most vocal voices in support of Israel turned out to be Morocco, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Rwanda, who came out guns blazing for Israel. And there were many other smaller countries, Burundi, Togo, Uganda, Senegal, Cameroon, also supported Israel. On the opposing side, Nigeria, Algeria, Tanzania, and South Africa have come out to be the strongest voices. Definitely important countries, but it obviously made problematic that they are opposed by strong voices on the other side. Naledi Pandor asking at that session that if apartheid South Africa were asked to be given observer status in the AU, how would that decision go? After this very strong debate and fiery debate, it was eventually decided by the chairperson of that session to kick for touch, and they didn't take a vote, and they decided that perhaps when heads of state meet in January in Senegal, they would discuss this issue further, with the fear being that if it would have gone to vote, it would have split the AU irreparably. And so the status remains at this moment: Israel is still holding on to that observer status. It's clearly made deep inroads into Africa, and this matter remains undecided. Despite this, we have Palestinian resistance group Hamas saying that taking a choice to postpone the final decision is a step in the right direction.
And then finally, is a joint soccer World Cup between Israel and Arab nations on the cards?
Indeed, it seems like at least that idea is being floated. The head of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, was in the Israeli state this week, and he met with the Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. And after that meeting, they announced that they are exploring the prospect that Israel would host the World Cup in 2030 together with other countries in the region led by the United Arab Emirates. Obviously, this in the spirit of the Abraham Accords and the wider moves of normalization. Besides this very controversial prospect, the entire visit of the FIFA head to the region of Palestine has been very controversial. He was supposed to meet with the Palestinian Football Association as well, but that was called off from the Palestinian side quite abruptly, because Infantino, the FIFA head, had actually gone over to a event that was held at what is called the Friedman Center, or the opening of the Friedman Center for Peace Through Strength. This occurred at the so-called Museum of Tolerance. And the Palestinians saw this as a deep insult, because this museum was built over the historic Muslim cemetery of Ma'manilla in the occupied city of Jerusalem, and that's obviously led to this major call from the Palestinian Football Association to cancel their meeting with the head of FIFA. And we can only see that with this prospect of a World Cup taking place in this way, that there's going to be more tensions in this regard, more protestation in this regard. Given the history of this, that the Palestinians have asked FIFA to expel Israel in 2015. They've asked Israel to expel settlement clubs. They haven't been successful on that score. There's been the red cards to Israeli football campaign. And all of this also stands in odds with FIFA's own statutes, where it commits itself to respecting all internationally recognized human rights and striving to promote the protection of these rights.
As always, Jazakumullah for your time. Really appreciate it.
Jazakumullah khair. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.